Hey guys, I'm Ricardo Powell as usual. Welcome to the 124 Not Out video podcast, and I'm joined by my co-host in life, as usual, aka the legend agent, and my beautiful wife, Baja. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, fresh off of a little break, a little vacation. I hope you haven't missed us, but you know, sometimes you have to live a little. And you know, we've been doing so much but anyway, enough about us. I'm very excited for today. Hint, hint. And before we get into today, guys, you know, we want to remind you where you can find us. And that is on our social platform at 124 Not Out. Subscribe to YouTube, subscribe to TikTok, subscribe to everything. Instagram, Facebook, you name it. We got it. But more importantly, today is going to be a good day. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the vibes. You know, I'm having a little bit of nostalgia, you know.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting topic we have to discuss today.
What is the topic? Let me see.
Well, for many years, people talk about cricket in many ways. And today we're going to be discussing the Vupa, which to me is a kind of Caribbean slang.
Yeah, so what's a Vupa? Describe to the listeners and the viewers, what is a Vupa?
So the topic is Vupa versus the cricketer. Back in the days, well, I don't know if they describe it that way in the Caribbean, but a Vupa was described as somebody just come out and lash. Literally, you just swing in your bat, and if you make connect with the ball, that's it. That's what's called a Vupa.
Well, I have a little confession to make, because, you know, a lot of us, that was the kind of cricket we would go to Sabina Park and Queen's Park Oval. Listen, that's what they call a Vupa. I call that an entertainer, brother. An entertainer, all right?
And who better to discuss that than the man himself? The man who was, to me, he is the T20 Lord. He has played over 666 T20Is. T20s, because they classify T20Is, which is international, different from T20s, because of ICC. Whatever. But over 600, once you get past 600, you can really stop count, because, I mean, not a few people in life will get there.
Well, so once you start saying the Lord and you're not talking about Jesus, you can only be talking about one person.
One person only. He has played over 100 internationals for West Indies in one day. He has played over 100 internationals, T20 as well. So in total, the man himself, Karen Pollard, is here today.
May the Lord be with you all.
Welcome, Polly. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
This is giving me some all kind of feels, some nostalgia, because, you know, I was one of the first persons to interview you back in the day for Baja, you know?
Yes, definitely. That was way back, 2006, somewhere down there.
Before the world knew the Lord, we saw the talent, but my husband saw the talent of the Lord, because I ain't no cricket expert like that. And he was like, we got to get this guy on the Baja show and Baja magazine and stuff. So it means a lot. It means a lot.
And even before that, there was a dry run of an interview that we did in the Savannah. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
When you had the other show before.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, in the Savannah.
It's been a long time.
I'm only 25. Come on, guys. Don't be out here telling people I'm around a long time. Come on now. Anyways. Back to the topic at hand, the Vupa. Listen, guys, I'm excited about it. But before we get into this, I have a message for a fan out there. A fan who have his cricketers mixed up. You know, a fan in Tobago, of all places. You know, there's a particular man in Long Circular Mall. I don't know his name, so I'll call him Sir. Sir, you see these two guys here? The one at the top right who have the privilege of being married to all these years. And the one at the bottom who had the privilege of just being proud of and watching all over the world in Mumbai, Indians and stuff. The one at the top right, the red man from St. Elizabeth, his name is Powell, all right? He is not Kyron Pollard. There's this guy who, when he sees my husband around Long Circular Mall, he runs up to him and says, Powell, man, you're going up when that man put you back on the Pollard, when that man put you back on the team. I'm like, is he serious? Okay. So, but they do have a few things in common. So I want to lead into the things that they have in common, not their last name, not their nationalities. They were Caribbean men. But what they do have in common is the fact that they're the first international, their first international hundreds are against India. Correct, guys?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
They're both hard-hitting batsmen who were labeled as whoopers, hence today, in their early careers. And many people didn't think that they are proper cricketers, whatever that means. I don't know, foolishness. And they're both married to two beautiful Trinidadian women. How has this VUPA life worked out for you? Tell the people.
I guess in great. Not good, but great. Yeah, great. You see, the thing, one thing is we've realized is that, you know, change and being different is something that we don't accept in society early on until it actually becomes a reality. And after years upon years, we get to realize and understand, you know, these things. So, you know, for me, it was a challenge at the start. But as I said, life has been good. Life has been great. You know, it has given us the opportunity to do many, many things that we would have or never have dreamt of.
Yeah.
Of doing, traveling the world and playing all over and, you know, giving a family life that you can give them.
Yeah. And all that's we have blessing. To do is be grateful for that. I'm so proud of my cricketers. I call everybody my cricketers, meaning West Indians, right? Guys like you and Bravo. And of course, I'm proud of my husband, but he's my husband. If he was a fireman, I'd be proud of him. You know, I didn't marry him because he's a cricketer. But I'm really just proud of our guys, you know, and you and Bravo and those guys in particular for, you know, flying that flag high, the champion. I'm so proud of you guys. Anyway, I can go on and on. Yeah.
But it's amazing how much life in general in terms of cricket has evolved. I remember many years ago, I was even crucified to leave Jamaica to come and play for Trinidad. And then many years later, this whole franchise thing started happening where players could leave Jamaica to play for Trinidad. Trinidad could go to Jamaica.
And it's just amazing. It's just amazing how now it's just being accepted now and everything is okay. But I guess persons who understand the backlash it would have had on yourself as an individual or myself as an individual, and you have to make a choice and a decision to do certain things in order to get through in the world. And now it's just like, it's okay. It's just like, you know, this is what it should be. Mm-hmm. What, 10, 15, 20 years back.
You're already guinea pig.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And you get to realize that once you're the first to do something, you're going to get a lot of backlash, you know, for it. But for me, even now, The greatest thing is just sitting back and just watching it happen.
Yeah.
I know everybody's so proud of, you know, you can do this, you can go here, you can go there, because you need to play cricket and you need to expose yourself and you need to do different things in order to get through in life. So again, sometimes you as individuals, when we talk about the legends of the past and the Martin Luther Kings and the
remember what they went through? Yeah.
They have gone through a lot. Yeah, but they have remembered in good light and good spirit. So at that time, we'll take it. Now, at some point in time, maybe down the road, we'll be remembered in good light. Yeah. We started a movement.
At first, you're a traitor, you're rebellious, and then you're a hero. You know, it's called the road less traveled.
The road less traveled. Until somebody else travels, it becomes very normal. And that's what life is about in general. But just to touch on something a little bit, Polly, in terms of, you have played all this T20s and you've been around the world and all the accolades in the shorter version of the game. Would you have liked to play Test cricket?
Definitely. That was always a dream. When you started playing cricket, obviously we knew two formats, which were, for me, was the Test cricket and 50 over cricket.
50 overs.
So, you know, you're growing up, you know, you're watching you guys when they play the Test cricket in England. You know, 6 o'clock in the morning, you get up, you watch them and they're playing all in Kent and Lords and whatever. Or when the Australians come to the Caribbean, you go to the Queen's Park Oval and obviously face off with Sabina Park. And that would all be a dream, you know, to be there standing in first slip, second slip, waiting to get a catch from the fast bowlers and then when batting, looking to score runs. But, you know, the journey was not meant to be. Obviously, we make a joke now that, you know, the dream turned into a nightmare because it never happened. But I've never regretted, obviously, not playing Test cricket, but I've always said it before, that at the start of your career, that's what you wanted to do. And that's when you realize there's a certain pathway that it's not going to happen, there's no
God has better plans.
Correct. And there's no point in fighting that. You just continue on the path that he has created and see if you can create your own sort of legacy, you know, going forward.
I just want to say something quite humorous. It's serious, but it's humorous when you, in response to what you just said. Like, being the agent for a number of legends who play test cricket, and back in the day, they were like, oh my God, if you're not playing test cricket, you know, you were scorned, you know? And now with this new, beautiful, lucrative version of the game, nobody wants to be seen as a test cricketer anymore. They're like, I'm an all-rounder. I'm a one-day specialist.
It's funny because obviously I was branded by one, you know, renowned person commenting.
Call name. It's a very free platform.
He knows that I think we have mended fences now with that conversation.
That's why it's all love.
You know, not a cricketer. And I was like, okay, fair enough. But it's the same sport, obviously. I can't control certain things. And if I can't control my selection in a test team, and then my calling is elsewhere, then what should I do? Should I wait until I'm 34, 35
to
get into a test team? And then with the records from before, knowing that, you know what, I could have actually made a squad, and you're seeing guys now who sometimes basically haven't scored a first-class 100 or don't know how to score a first-class 100, into test teams and all around the world. It's just like, watch it.
You guys must feel aware. Yeah.
And I don't envy them in any way because I think this is their time for that. But it just goes to show that how our mindset used to be at one point in time. So I'm going to try to play test cricket. If I can't, then what's next?
Yeah.
And I just did what's next.
And you did it well. and you did it well.
It comes back in a lot of way in terms of the game itself, because a lot of people knocked people who did not play the game, who are some of the best coaches in the world. And they look at them and say, how can you be a coach? You never play the game. You never do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they analyze and they break down the game in a way for you that as a player, you don't even realize that that is the way it's supposed to be. So I don't think you can judge any one person or player because they bat a certain way or they bowl a certain way. You've classified and put them in a box and say that this is where they belong. Give them the opportunity and say, go. If it is that you're not succeeding there, then we're going to have to put you here. But people of the Caribbean in general, they like to judge and put people in a certain
way. That's exactly. They like to judge and they're quick to jump to conclusions and they're quick to tell you what you should do and what you should not do and what you're good at and what you're not good at. But once you have resilience,
it doesn't happen in cricket alone, eh, guys? Newsflash.
Yeah, but still, obviously, this is the domain that we actually know.
But it happens to all of us.
For me personally, you don't judge. You give people an opportunity
to
show their worth, show their mettle, show their talent. Give them, and then when they have that opportunity, then able to, if you want to have an opinion, not even judge, have an opinion on what you have seen, then you can see it, and then we can agree to disagree in anything.
And everybody has a niche to fill. Everybody has a niche. Like, it's amazing what people are making money and making a life with doing now in an honest way. Everybody, God created us all with a gift, and He knows how you're going to fulfill that gift. It could be being a booker, being a test cricketer, being a commentator, being whatever.
Anything. But even when you look at it, you look at the social media influencers making a lot of money. And just putting out content or just making people laugh, and we just sit on our phones.
And let me tell you, that is not an easy thing, coming from a media background. That is not, my husband will tell you what I've gone through in terms of creating media content. That is mad respect for these people, because you have to understand these algorithms, and you just have to know how to set up your content to go viral, because you'll see somebody with a million views, and I'm like, but I just did that. Why can't I get a million views? But everybody,
but it comes back to look at university, right? We have university, we go to school to study, to get a degree, to go into a certain job. Mm-hmm. In the Caribbean, we play first-class cricket, we play four-day cricket, to be able to do four-day cricket, do well there, and then get selected for test match.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Back then. So you did well there, but then when you do well there, they still tell you that, hey, you're still not good enough to play test cricket, even though you passed the exam to play test cricket.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So what do you do? If you don't have a strong mindset, and that's, I think that's where we'd have lost a lot of cricketers and a lot of talented people as well along the way, because they tell you that, and then they have nothing in place to sort of help you to get to that stage. So for instance, when I look back and, you know, you think about the conversation you've had with the selectors when they talk about, we're going to brand you a one-day cricketer. And that's only because you can hit the ball over the fence. and you bat at a particular strike rate. Mm-hmm. Whereas we looked at test cricket as, okay, high elbows, you have to bat the entire day. But look at it now, pass ball, as they call it. Guys scoring 400 and 450 runs in a test match. What's the mm-hmm. difference?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we were too early.
Boy, maybe I said you were ahead of your time, but also many people, they were fortunate enough to have a discussion with the selectors. They were fortunate because in my time there was no discussion. It's either you get picked or you get dropped. And you
was that is that bucket. Some shade I'm detecting over there?
No, what is right. I go back. I always remember. I've been branded the whiteboard cricketer, and they had a 18 tour, and I had a discussion with a prominent ex-CEO of the board in Antigua, in Jolly Beach. I could never forget it. We had him having a discussion, and it was getting a little feisty, and said, okay, let's go outside and let's have a personal discussion. And he's like, do you want to remember it as a legend or five-over cricketer? And when I look at the disparity in terms of the financial, I didn't have to go to university to realize that, listen, if I'm being branded a white ball cricketer, and then I work the finances, I'll give you figures, $5,000 at that time, US dollars, as opposed to 50,000 pounds. I didn't think I need a master's in mathematics to understand which direction.
Yeah, master's in economics. You didn't even need a master's in economics.
And knowing and seeing what would have transpired before to other persons who would have played the game, I had a decision to make, and you only get criticized for making decisions. And I made my decision and I've never regretted it.
Wow. I guess, Bajan, this will take you into your next segment.
And that is international versus franchise. My favorite segment, because I like, there's no cricketer. We had, a lot of people here, Monty Panesa and others, our own Dinesh Rambin, and, you know, a lot of people who I, based on their bias, what they have done, if they would do it differently, if they feel that cricketers in as it relates to you, Kyron, because you have done this thing proper, right? You have, and when I say proper, I don't mean that they didn't do it proper, but the new version of what it looks like to be a successful cricketer. It's, and we've just said that it's changed. Your part was very different, even from that of Ricardo's. But if you had to do it all again, would you choose this part? Yes, we know that you started off, now that you have this information and you were starting all over again, you advising your son, your nephews, mentoring young guys, what would you tell them? What do you choose? Should you go the route of international where you play for your country? And we're not necessarily talking money only. Right?
Yeah.
But we're talking money. As well. What would you choose? Would you say you prefer franchise over that?
I wouldn't say I prefer the international franchise. It all depends. It all depends on your situation. It all depends on the type of cricketer that you are, the amount of work you're willing to put in. Because playing on the franchise scenes, it looks easy when you go around the world and you play and again, you get all the financial rewards and whatever. But
it looks glamorous.
It's still a cutthroat sort of mentality, whereas you have to perform in order to continuously get gigs, because it's a business world, right? Mm-hmm. It's performance-based, and you move from continent to continent, no time to acclimatize and all of that, and you have to perform at a high level. Mm-hmm. International cricket, obviously, have the development coming through, where you start on a 15 and a 17, and your aim is always to play international cricket, because that's the pride and the passion that you have for your country.
Correct. Right?
So at some point in time, you still want to represent the country, be it now, because you have three formats, then different formats, right? But it all depends to me now on the type of cricketer that you are, because there are cricketers who are made for the four-day version and five-day version of cricket, and that's only international cricket, right? They are the fortunate ones who live in the first world countries.
Like Australia.
Australia, England, India, who are remunerated very highly to represent their nation, right? So then the franchise world is not as glamorous until maybe back end of their career, when they have a little more flexibility in time.
Yeah.
So that's it's a whole lot of different things that you have to take into perspective in terms of which direction you want to go. Because when you go back, these guys, say for instance in Australia, these guys on $1 million retainer contracts.
Wow.
If you're on $1 million retainer contract, right? As opposed to when we played for West Indies and this time when we, the highest retainer at that time would have been what, $120,000. There's a big gap. There's a big gap there. So they they could have afforded, and I said they and the media and everyone, because I say it all the time now, because there's no secret. They used to ridicule us for doing that. But they could have said, you know what, I'm going to play chess for this baggy green because they are remunerated a lot. Right? Yeah. We had decisions to make. Sometimes you're not even on a contract and you're just playing white ball cricket. And you have to put aside all this time to play for your country. And then you have a growing
family. And you have bills to pay.
You have mortgages to pay. You have decisions. You have decisions to make. So, again, as I said, all sort of different factors need to be taken into consideration before you choose the path. Obviously, knowing the results now and understanding what is happening now in the global game, the mindsets of the upcoming cricketers is going to be different.
Especially if they're coming from countries, as you say, that you know your retainer is not really doing much. It's so funny. Your answer is consistent with that of Aaron Finch, who we had on this show a couple of months ago. And he said, you know, in his case, he's fortunate. So it would be Australia again, because the national boards are ensuring that they give you a certain level of security so that you can take such a decision. And it's really sad. Eh? It's really, really sad. It's really sad because our guys continue to be demoralized and they continue to have their opinions about it, because they always have opinions, petty opinions about whatever. But at the end of the day, people have to make decisions as best for their families.
No, of course.
Every territory, I mean, will have it differently, as Finchy said. Like, I mean, Australia, England, India will be different from a West Indies, a Bangladesh, Zimbabwe in terms of how the players choose. But one of the things that I remember that he was very stern on in terms of your development, like Polly said it earlier, in terms of people look at this, oh, I'm going to go play franchise cricket and, and think that it's like that. No, if your foundation is not good enough, you're not
going to come through the 4-day franchise.
You see, the fundamentals of cricket and the principles of cricket remain the same. From a technical perspective, you have to be able to have a good defense. You have to be able to attack. You have to be able to understand certain things. You can't just turn up tomorrow and say, I'm going to be a franchise cricketer. Then also the backing of the backroom staff, the staff as well. Whereas, like now, to be a freelancer, obviously you're not with one sort of staff or one sort of person all the time. So now as an individual, you have to invest in that to keep your body fit. From a physio perspective, you're not under the guidance of anyone, cricketing boards where you go back for medical attention. So you have to have that in place. Whereas, okay, knock wood, if I get injured tomorrow, I know who's my doctor, my physios, all of that. And this is something that obviously I would have gone through as well. And I know because I've gotten two ACL injuries. Whereas you had to personally go now and find your way as to how you're going to get back on the cricket field.
Yeah.
So there's always a foundation, a plan in place, you know, for that. So it's not as easy as we keep saying. So the foundations remains the same.
Yeah.
Cricketing perspective.
Yeah. But
you still have to have the will and the desire and the determination to do well. To consistently get
cricketing consultant.
Anyway, I don't want to stray because Karen Paul is a very busy man, and we can't leave the fans out of this program. So we need to go into That's What's Up. And you have some fans who have some questions for you, Polly. Let's hear what they what the people have to say. Question one. Let's hear what question.
Hola, this is Himan Patel from Springfield, Ohio. Do you think cricketers should get married earlier or late in a career?
that's a good one to start off. That's a trick one. I remember, and I got reminded about it recently by my wife. In that same interview we spoke about years ago.
Yeah.
Right. I said I wanted to get married at age 32.
Oh, you said that? Oh my God, I can't remember. But of course, your wife will remember that because she was there.
I got reminded by that the other day.
Oh my God.
I didn't take my own advice because I got married at 25.
Ooh, you went later than Powell.
Yeah. Oh, you went a bit earlier. So, but I think it's all individual. It's all a choice in terms of what you want to accomplish. And what I can safely say for me personally, and this is, has worked for me, is that being married and having kids early, it gives me that sense again of motivation and having to work towards something. So it was a bit of stability early up
that to you just wanted. That works
make
for you
wanted a bit more, knowing that every time I step on the crease or I go to play a cricket match, I'm not just doing it for myself or to get a paycheck at the end, but I'm doing it because persons are depending on myself you know, to get a life. So stability for me was one of the key things from where I came from. So it all depends on personal choice and what guys want to enjoy sort of in life.
Polly, I think my husband got married too early, but that's just my opinion.
Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing he got married to you, but all right.
Well, thank you.
I probably would not be married today if I got married later because I wouldn't find her. She would be gone somewhere.
Exactly.
She would be on the shelf for very long.
Exactly.
Polly, he got married at 22. I'm the bride, and I'm telling him, you know, this is too early to get married, right? When he asked, all right, that's just not... You don't need to get married to me. I don't need a ring right now. I was telling the man, don't get married. Crazy. Anyways, question two.
Hey, Paula. This is Virang Patel from Dayton, Ohio. If you would give an opportunity to play for any other franchise in IPL besides Mumbai Indian, which one would you choose?
Good question. Another good one.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can answer that safely and say I had opportunities maybe coming in the back end in 2022 when it was time to finish the IPL. Say, okay, I'm going to go in the auction or take a trade to go to another franchise, and I chose not to. So I'm not going to say any other franchise. I was happy that I was able to play for Mumbai Indians, and I can still continue to represent them
globally
around the world and in the IPL as well on the coaching staff. So let's leave it at MI. And that's pretty much a speculation of who could have had me or not.
I agree with that. I just think that you are the ambassador, the global ambassador for Mumbai. When you hear Karen Pollan, you hear Mumbai. It's like, you know, like when you hear Hardik, you know, Mumbai.
It's a legacy. It's a legacy. That's something you wanna spoil. So
a legacy I am proud of, and it's not even, you know, it's just one of our own, you know. It's just like, I know I saw you the wedding celebration
as a fellow West Indian, I am very proud of that. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of Bravo, how you guys have represented your franchise, and you have set the bar in terms of what West Indian cricketers are supposed to be when it comes to the international stage. When you guys step up for Mumbai or Chennai, it shows the rest of the world that, hey, this is where West Indians belong.
Yeah.
And for me, every time I see that, I'm a proud fellow West Indian, because at the end of the day, that is one of us out there doing great things. And it showed the rest of the youngsters who are coming up like, hey, I can be a Pollard, I can be a Bravo, because it's possible. And they have done it for years.
There's one guy as well who represented Mumbai, and he didn't really well. Obviously, he didn't do it for a long time, but his numbers are up there. And that's Lendell Simmons. He did a fantastic job for Mumbai when he played for us those couple of years as well. So we can't forget him. And the other West Indian who have represented.
And Cooper. Didn't Cooper play for Mumbai?
No, Cooper played for Rajasthan. Wayne Smith played for Mumbai.
Yeah.
Santoki got 1 year for Mumbai. Shofin Rutherford was there. Nicholas Puran also has Ari Joseph. And then Shepard, the latest one, who would have played. So
we're proud of all you guys. You know, it's like the guy told me one time, and the first time.
And Bravo, Bravo was the first one to represent Mumbai Indians.
Before he went to Chennai. I see him as a Chennai man. Oh my God. And he'll be on this program soon.
Don't tell him. I took his spot.
Oh, good. We're going to have to talk about that with the champion. Oh my God, when he comes to the program.
Champion opened the door for us.
A lot of people don't realize how much this guy helps people like yourself and others. But Bravo is really a guy who, you know, he looks out for a lot of people and so on. And again, I'm very proud of him.
Fantastic
looks out for his
individual.
Family. Yeah, I love Bravo. I mean, he had to tell me this whole, the way he had this thing, this family life, known as a science boy. He and I had to talk about that on the show.
You see, so that's why I say individual choices.
Different.
But he's good all the same.
He is. Yeah. I love it. I love my Bravo. he knows how I feel about him. Eh? Bravo and I have a very special relationship. Anyways, that's what's up. And you know, it's open mic now. I know you have to leave shortly because you have a very important meeting for again Mumbai. I just wanted to have an open mind session. How do you feel about the political climate right now? It will be remiss of me not to ask you. It looks like we may have a female president of the United States soon. We are in politics season, my favorite.
I'm seeing that happening now. Obviously, just yesterday they had a rally or something, and now the points is going this way. Females are coming to take over the world again.
Yes, but I don't think you have a problem with that. You have a lovely wife there who's a very strategic businesswoman, and things will run right. You know how women do this thing.
Correct. And it's a different landscape. So. I think it should be good. It might be good for America. It might be good. Let's see what happens.
Early days, yes. We haven't had the other thing. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's exciting. That's what's happening. It's exciting that you guys, Mumbai is now in the US, and back to the cricket. And you're a big part of the Mumbai Indians team in the USA. You know, we're relying on you to develop the cricket rights and so on, and to help us to make, you know, cricket big in the US, because everybody's keep asking me, cricket is in the US? I'm like, wait, are you all under a rock? Cricket is in the US. We were part of the World Cup.
It's getting there. It's part of the World Cup. Obviously, this tournament, the MLC now, obviously, it's sort of taken off. So let's see how long it will continue. But getting the top international cricketers to come to the US and play in this tournament, I think that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, more than anything else, Polly, I definitely want to thank you for taking the time. I mean, I know you're a busy man, so I really respect the fact that you took the time to be here with us to just talk cricket and just talk life in general. I mean, it's very important to us that we show the different side of us when it comes to the sport and what's in front of us. And I'm hoping that a lot of youngsters will also watch these kind of podcasts, because our West Indian players and cricketers in general, they're not this way focused. They're just focusing on the end goal and the development.
The green.
So thank you for being here. Thank you for
thank you. Really, thank you for having me. Obviously, it's been a long time.
It's supposed to happen. Yes.
But you know, nothing happens before it's time.
Y'all don't make me cry. Love it. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. And say hi to your beautiful wife. Keep treating that queen right. She deserves it. Yeah?
We'll do.
Family right.
All right. And that's a wrap, guys. See y'all next time on the 1.4 podcast. Don't forget to follow us all. Follow Kyron, as usual, on everywhere he is. Instagram, Facebook, everything. Ricardo Powell, 1.4 not out. It's your girl, Basha, Legend Agent. We're out. Bye. Cheers.